One thing I want to say about bond determination, the form that's used. I've heard a lot from some attorneys that, like, it's not required in the regs, and therefore I'm not going to use it. I'm gonna just, you know, and the judge better take it. And I'm like, you want to explain that to your client when the judge rejects it? The easy way is hard enough in a lot of these cases, and if you want to sit there and fight. Now, if there was no other way, if there was something in the form, or, you know, there's pick your battles. Like, if it's just to use the form that the court wants you to use, okay, fine. You want to do that, but you do ultimately have to answer to your client. It's not your own ego that needs to be driving how you interact with the court. It's also what's in the best interest. In fact, it's above your ego, absolutely, is what's in the best interest of your client.
And at the end of the day, you've got a human making the ultimate decision on your bond. So you want to make the best impression because...
You want to piss them off.
Right.
No, you don't want to piss
exactly.
Them off.
So here's some essentials. Identity documents, birth certificates, LPR cards for family members, letters of good moral character, references, evidence of community ties, and if you have any special issues that you want to present, medical records. So if you've got kids with special issues, if you've got school records, sometimes what will happen is if a parent gets detained, you'll have a kid who might have anxiety issues or might have learning difficulties. Those are the types of things that you want to bring to the court's attention immediately, because that will help with getting a bond. And you want to file it as soon as you can. I mean, obviously you won't be able to file it way before your bond hearing, but courts expect that you will be you'll be filing within a couple of days of the bond hearing.
And with medical records, you're also showing the strength, especially if you're going for cancellation of removal for non-permanent residents. You're showing the strength of your case beforehand, because nowadays it's very, you know, everybody's applying for cancellation removal for non-LPRs, and so to set your case at the beginning, to set your case apart from all the, you know, oh, my client has cancellation of removal, well, you know, is their case strong enough to win? Because they're thinking flight risk. Are they going to come back? Well, no, they have a very strong case for relief. Yes. Again, you don't have to try your case at the outset, but you want a successful bond hearing. That's the point. I know the judge shouldn't be doing these things, but they are, and they will. And the only one who's going to really be upset at the end of the day are you, and certainly your client. So do the best you can.
And I think it's always a good idea. The way I approach it is, like, what prima facie eligibility, what prima facie evidence do you have about relief? So if it's 42B, then at minimum, you have to show there's qualifying relatives and what the hardship is, like Jackie said. If you have a client who's VAWA eligible, do you have any proof of, you know, abuse, a U visa, even, you know, especially for someone who gets detained, it's very unlikely that you're going to have a certification. But if you at least have a police report showing that the crime was reported or a conviction record showing that the perpetrator was convicted, you're giving the judge something like, look, this person is going to end up with, you know, with status. If it's an asylum case, you know, throw in one, you know, compelling report that documents that, yes, like, English speakers in Cameroon are persecuted, and then you are, that is what you can use to argue that they're not a flight risk.
We have a question that came in. It says, what's the panel's opinion on dealing with an IJ's requiring submission of police reports for a bond request? It's a tough one.
I don't like it.
I don't either, but sometimes you just have to do it. And especially if you're dealing in a case with a DWI, I mean, it is what it is, right? It's going to come out sooner or later. If it doesn't come out in this proceeding, it's
probably... They're never pretty. DWI, the arrest reports are never pretty. It's the point of view of the officer, and the officer is looking at this person like they're hammered and they're going to kill everybody if they let this person go. So police reports are never pretty.
I think if they have twice the legal limit, they can find me most of the time.
They go what?
Well, they find me. Most of my clients are really, really drunk.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all or nothing. Yeah, they never say, oh, I just...
No, I mean, mine are never a little drunk. Mine are always super
drunk. Really, really hammered. I had one client who, it's in the police report, they opened the door and all these Modelo cans fell out. Yeah, police reports are ugly. However, if the judge requires it and the judge holds the key, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can make a good record. You can fight it. We're going to talk about how you appeal these later on. That's unwieldy, the appeals process for bonds, and it's ineffective. If you have to, you're going to send that police report in, and you're going to mitigate the allegations in there as much as possible because it's only the point of view of the arresting officer. Your client didn't write that. They don't, and the bond hearing may be the only time they get to respond, so you just have to be prepared.
I think you can add, I think you can also add a lot of extra stuff. I think you can make them go to AA. I think you can.
But if they're in detention.
But that's why you're asking for the bond. Judge, can't you see how badly he needs
AA? He needs
look
help.
Look what a drunk he is. You need to get him out of here. Well, he's not getting any better in here.
All over Retama Park.
There you go.